WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
This weekend, young people all across the country are going to graduate with as much pomp and circumstance as they can muster. One of those graduates is a guy named David Carroll. Carroll is a long-serving veteran of the Army, a former tank commander who retired and then applied to Vassar College. Now, Vassar is like the quintessential small, artsy, liberal Northeastern school, and going there was almost a lark, the way David Carroll tells it. When he got there, he befriended one of his professors, Hua Xu, who's also a contributor to The New Yorker.
Typical Vassar student, that's almost an oxymoron, because the campus prides itself in being really diverse, really welcoming, really open-minded. Pretty liberal slash progressive campus vibe, a lot of interest in social justice. It's very, very gay friendly.
My name's David Carroll, I'm 35 years old, and I'm a senior at Vassar College now. Before coming to Vassar College, I was in the Army for 11 and a half years and spent 4 years deployed to Iraq as a 19 kilo tank commander.
Have a great weekend, and we have six more presentations on Tuesday.
You know, I am a Republican, and I'm a Texas Republican.
In fall of 2013, Dave Carroll was one of three veterans who enrolled in my freshman writing class as part of the Posse Veterans Program at Vassar College. But what did you know about Vassar?
I knew nothing about Vassar. Nothing. A buddy of mine said, hey, man, he called me one day. He's like, hey, you know, Vassar College is looking for veterans. You should apply. I said, is it a good school? He said, yeah. I said, done. Let's apply. And then I said, well, where the hell is Vassar at? And I was like, I've never heard of that. So I Googled it and looked at the library, and I was like, looks good. Let's try that. Let's go to a woman's college full of Democrats. Awesome.
Actually, Vassar went co-ed in 1969, but the reputation lingers on. I've always wondered this. So, like I've told you in the past, I didn't really know that we had this program before showing up that first day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you get pictures of all your students. And I remember printing out the pictures for your class, and I'm walking to school, and I look down and I see a guy who's like my age, his head shaved. But I remember you were also wearing a t-shirt with like the GOP elephant on it.
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose?
Oh yeah, you gotta represent. You know, can't just let all the liberals think they're getting over on everybody. You know, if I'm the guy with the Republican shirt on whenever the teachers print out their little things, you know, at least then they know that they're gonna have to address that issue at some point. You know, and it forces them to be honest a little bit more so.
It totally worked for me. I mean, what was your impression of Vassar kids when you started?
I was impressed. It took a good, you know, almost a whole first year just to be able to articulate my thoughts the way that they did. You know, so in the military, the more I cussed, the faster I get promoted. So that was, you know, that's just how you talked. You know, so it was just a different language. So you had to, you know, you had to learn a different language when you came here just so that you could be able to get your point across. So my first impression of these students were, holy these kids are smart.
I remember having to remind Dave and the other veterans that they were smart too, just in a different way, maybe a little rough around the edges. But I wondered if he was ever bothered with being around so many young college students.
You know, so it wasn't so much dealing with 18 and 19-year-olds at college here, because I dealt with 18 and 19-year-olds all the time. There was a little bit difference where I couldn't just scream at them and make them do push-ups. You know, I wish I could have done that a few times. But there's times where I walk through and I just hear a really ignorant conversation of, you know, just not ignorant, just, you know, no experience, no life experience conversation going on somewhere. And, you know, and I just think, yeah, you know, what it's like to be 19 again and try to figure it out.
I was doing an independent study with Dave, and, you know, we just sort of, there was no actual final assignment. So I just said, look, you've mentioned in the past wanting to write about your experiences. Just write me, you know, 5 or 6 pages and that'll be it.
I mean, I have files and files of just stuff that, you know, just because I don't sleep well sometimes, you know, so whenever I'm thinking about it, I just go try to write it just to get it down and out.
He sent me a document. It was one of the most disturbing things I've ever read.
You know, I mean, I revisit it a lot just in my own mind. You know, it plays all the time in my own mind.
And part of it was because I think he was aware of how disturbing it was.
You know, I have tons and tons of just gibberish written, but so far they've just been going into a file on my computer that says veteran shit.
This was just an account of combat, of life as a soldier, of destruction that was unlike anything I'd ever read or seen.
You know, you have highlights that you look back on your life. Some of my highlights are just happen to be really horrible things happening.
And when he turned the paper in, he included this note. Don't worry, man, I'm not a monster anymore. Ha ha. I've come to grips with my past. It's hard to tell my story to civilians.
Because the first thing most of them think is, he likes killing. I wonder if he still wants to. War is a different place. Those actions are acceptable there. I have boxes full of medals from acting like that. They're all in my attic to be seen again whenever I move. I am not proud of a lot of things I did while I was deployed, but I am damn sure not ashamed of any of them. Most of the people I know now in my life know I was in the Army, but few of them know what you know now. If this paper has to be seen by anyone other than you, let me know so I can write you something else. This is for your eyes only. See you next semester.
Typically when I meet with students, I can kind of rely on being older than them to have a tiny bit more wisdom than them. With these guys, there was no age difference, and their life experiences were really different from mine. I didn't feel like I had that much to offer other than just as someone who's willing to listen to them and take them seriously.
What was the experience actually like?
Of being in a tank?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it's miserable, but it's pretty miserable, and it's incredibly hot. So whenever you're, you know, in August in Iraq, it's 110 outside, it's 125 in the tank, you know, so it gets to be miserable. And it, after times, there's a lot of times where you did 24-hour ops, so you went out there and sat for 24 hours in one spot and just kind of scanned. And after a while, it'd feel like your brain is literally melting because it was just so unbearable.
So over 11 years, you were in Iraq for like 4.5 years?
Yeah, four.
4 years. How many firefights were you involved in?
A lot. I would say that I pulled the triggers, you know, around about 300 times. I think the best I can gauge IEDs that went off on my vehicle or near my vehicle is 32.
Like, what do you do to kind of keep it together? Are you just sort of anticipating the next rush?
Yeah, you're just anticipating the next rush because it can happen at any second. You kind of just sit in there and just talk and listen to the radio.
What were you listening to?
Like Puddle of Mud, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
It was on somebody's iPod, but Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, man. You listen to that and just wait for the kickoff. And just be in the tunnel, waiting for him to call your name.
Like you would just listen to that one song over and over?
I mean, that was the theme of it. You know, so if you had to put a theme song to the war in Iraq, it would be that. You know, everybody had their own taste, but in my tank it was nasty heavy metal. Something's got to give.
still listen to those songs now?
No, I can't listen to them anymore.
You know, up until this point, I felt like I had a pretty good understanding of him. And what really shocked me about what he sent me was just how it seemed as though he actually would have wanted to go back.
So I missed the adrenaline of it. You know, it's the fear, the excitement, the pain. If you get to engage with the enemy at close range, it's like the best challenge that you can have in your life. And then on the other side of that is when it doesn't go right and it's really bad. So then you can go into the rest of your life knowing that it'll never, ever be as worse as war. But there's also a little bit of it that you're never going to feel again, that you're going to miss.
I think what troubled me was the honesty, was his recognition that this was a part of who he was. I just felt really humbled. And I also just felt in awe that this guy had done all of these things, and now I was somehow responsible for him.
Even I remember going to your office the first semester and just looking around in your office and be like, oh yeah, this is the exact same, you know, you got the West Coast vibe on it, but you know, this is the exact same stuff that I have. You know, I was like, this is awesome, because it's just random 90s things thrown in there, you know, just like you had a Master P doll.
One thing that I think is really important to note is that these guys weren't the types to sit around and swap war stories. In fact, Dave told us that before coming to Vassar, he'd been part of a veterans group at his previous school, and he had put up a sign on the first day that said, only one war story per day. He just wasn't really the type who wanted to live in the past. When I interviewed Dave, one of the producers I worked with asked if he could read a copy of Dave's essay, if he'd be willing to share it. Dave basically said, no. You haven't earned the right yet. And that got me thinking. You just said that, like, someone you don't know needs to, like, earn the right to access your stories. Why did you think I deserve to read? I mean, I know I assigned you something,
you have,
but, like,
a Master P doll in your room, dude. You know, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot. You know, it just has to be somebody that you can connect with, that you know it's not just going to be that's open-minded enough to see those things and say, well, that's really not who he is. That's just some of the things that he's been involved in. I think that's
it's all because of the Master P doll.
all rolls around the Master P doll.
It's crazy that I barely remember that I have that doll in my I mean, it's because I have so much in my office, but I mean, did you think though, when we started like our class that I would end up earning that right?
No, because I think you were the first professor that I had. I think you were the very, very first class that I'd taken at Vassar. You know, so, and then here comes, you know, the stereotypical Northeast professor, you know, and I was like, oh, look at this guy. Then after, you know, the third or fourth class, I think that's when I was like, hey, man, this guy gets it. You know, he understands what's, you know, all of this kind of looks like a little bit.
That first month, all three of you guys had a lot of challenges, and you would come talk to me, and I would feel really bad. But then after a while, it was like, I can't just, feeling bad doesn't really do anything. I can't just, like, have pity for these guys.
Yeah. And none of us want that. We just don't know what we're doing.
Like, how do you think being here has changed your sense of, like, politics, or just sort of how you see the world, or...
So, I've always had a moderate conservative viewpoint always. Yeah. And, you know, I just think that as far as what's really changed me from being here is knowing that the left and the right aren't that far off, but almost every single person that's here could be just categorized in the middle. You know, I don't think it matters if you got an elephant or the donkey on your shirt. I don't think it really matters.
So at the end of this month, Dave and his fellow liberal Northeastern 20-somethings will be walking as part of Vassar's 2016 graduating class. He himself doesn't seem particularly interested in this ritual, but his mom and grandma are coming all the way to Poughkeepsie, and they're so proud they really want to see him cross that stage. We've talked about what he might do in the future. He's mentioned the possibility of getting an MBA, maybe law school. You know, I've thought maybe he should write a book.
So as far as I've gotten now is I bought a house near Fort Worth so that I have the possibility to go to A&M Law. So I thought, try to go to law school and see where that leads me.
So Dave's got a lot of options, but in a way I don't think he's that different from a lot of the 20-somethings he'll be walking with. They've acquired a lot of knowledge, they've learned a lot about themselves, but at this point, they don't really know what they want to do next.
It's just that I want to go spend some time in my pool and float underneath the shade for a few years and figure out what I want to do with life. So I really don't know yet.
David Carroll, a U.S. Army veteran and a newly minted graduate of Vassar College, talking with The New Yorker's Hua Xu.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information.